They can know of your awesomeness, God. If people could know of your awesomeness, they would reverence you even more than they do now. You are truly real. And we love you. You show yourself so many times. I saw you several times the other day in things around the country. I looked up at the light and saw you because you're the light of the world.
Yes. Okay.
Look at the rocks out there when I got in my car and saw you because you're the rock of ages.
Yes.
Looked up at the sky and saw you in the stars because you're the bright morning star. God, I looked even down at my carpet a while ago and I said, there you are, because you're the very fiber of my being. Just everywhere we look, we can see you. We see you on the line because you're so visible and healing people. People never got healing before. Miracles happen on this prayer line. It's you, God. I'm not trying to seek anything that would take any of your glory. God, it's you. And we just love you and praise you and thank you. We are excited about you. We just honor you. Oh, God, we love you. Appreciate everything you're doing, everything you've done, and everything you will do. You're all we need, and you're all we have. And at the same time, you're all we want. Thank you for everything. Now, bless us today. We surrender this prayer line to you. We're not trying to do anything except what you want to do. You know, we're not trying to say anything except what you want to say. Look on us, we pray. Thank you for allowing us to lead people all over the world last night into giving you a billion praises. And so many people came in on the prayer line. Not like it's going to be, but it's a start. I saw it. The prophecy that we gave to the people, that you gave to me, and I uttered it to the people, is coming now, beginning to come to pass. Thank you. Oh, God. Thank you for all the people all around the world in Africa. You, through the spirit realm, allowed me to hear their praise. It's so magnificent. And India. And now, taking place in the Philippines and in so many places, God. People are praising you like never before. The world will see it. You're going to get praise like the world never dreamt of. It's going to open their eyes. It's going to baffle them to see how people are praising you all over the world. And I want to thank you. It humbles me and humbles, it ought to humble the people on this line to know that you're using this line, them, Lord, to bring about and usher in praise like the world has never seen. Some have never been out of their hometown, never been a lot of places, so it's very, very difficult for them to even see what's happening and believe what's happening, but it's happening anyway, and I thank you for it. Now, God bless us today. As we try to bring the second half of the message that you gave to me, you can see the glory, but you don't know my story. Help us, God, we pray in the name of Jesus. Bless people everywhere. Bless them in the city, in the field. They're going out, they're coming in. Yeah. We do honor and praise you. Now, God, forgive us for all sin. Perhaps there are some things I've done that I don't even know. Forgive me for sins of omission, sins of commission. Help me to forgive those who have trespassed against me, I pray. And let it be for the people on the line, too. Forgive every sin on the line. And forgive those who trespass against them. Oh, God. Forgive the sin of commission and omission for them too, we pray. And we'll give you the glory, and the honor is yours already. We point to you in everything we try to do. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen and amen. God bless all of you on the prayer line. If you have a...
I bless you.
If you're on the line all over these area codes, my God. Area code 913-616-801. 773-314-8477-08, and I could keep going on and on. 502-8-901-219-910. All of y'all, 912, everybody. You got a voice. God gave you a voice. If you got a voice, don't be arrogant. Don't sit there and say, well, speak to the Lord. He's real. Good morning, Lord. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord.
But let's christen this line with praise everywhere. Everybody open your mouth and praise God. He's been good to you.
Praise
the Lord. Awake, you ain't dead. A lot of people who went in last night. Come on, let's praise him. Father, thank you. Mother to the nation, Mother Eddie Johnson, to all of our prayer warriors, to all of the bishops, superintendents, pastors, elders, and friends, all of you, and of course to our ambassadors and those who are working on staff, Pastor Kevin Strader. I haven't heard from him in a long time. Somebody get a hold of him. And Pastor James Williams, haven't heard from him in a long time. Somebody get a hold of him. Amen. And God bless you. Thank God for Elder Davis. We heard from him the other day. And Ambassador Eleanor Pfeiffer, who is always such a great, great asset to this line. And Ambassador Julie Hagan, always a great asset to this line. She's the one who introduces me every morning. I never told her what to say. She just says what God tells her to say. Thank God for her. Man, she's such a blessing. Also, she's a open up other airways for us all over the world, the blog line. This woman here, Ambassador Julie Hagan, is the one who brought about the blog line, which has, I believe, over 90 million. And we're praying that we'll be able to go on the, is it the Korean or the China blog line. Amen. It has over 600 million. Thank God for Ambassador Elect Amen. Prophetess Gail Stith. Amen. And all the Arkansas delegates. And to our special assistant, Ambassador Elect Deaconess Gina Hodges. Amen. And of course, we can't forget about Dr. Mary Lacey. Amen. We honor all of our persons on the line. Ambassador Dr. Patricia Stern, amen, who prayed, I believe, yesterday. So until even the chickens start praising God, amen. And then Ambassador Eleanor Pfeiffer prayed the other day until people just start jumping everywhere and praising God. Two of the prayingest women I know of are Ambassador Eleanor Pfeiffer and Ambassador Dr. Patricia Stern. Dr. Eleanor Pfeiffer and Dr. Patricia Stern. Amen. I try to give the props to everybody correctly. It's so very important. I spoke about this the other day. how many denominations do it certain ways. You know, we have in our convention, amen, the Lord gave it to me, ambassadors. Paul said, I am an ambassador. And several other men of God said, I am an ambassador. And the Lord gave it to me. And I'll live before I take it back. Amen. Because God gave it to me. He said, make ambassadors everywhere. And he said, I'm making those. I want you to know that this is not of man. God uses people to bring about what he wants to do. But it is of God. Amen. And that's why I'm on it so much. Now, you can accept it or you can reject it. But you learned the word your name, didn't you? You learned your name. For example, Ed Lee Johnson, you learned your name. And then you gave me my name, Bernard Johnson. I'm very specific about people not calling me Bernard. Be like boy, B-E-R-N-A-R-D. Bernard. I'm not Bernard Johnson. My mother gave me the name Bernard, V like Victor, E-R-N-A-R-D. Most people call me Bernard who don't know me. That's another way I know they don't know me. You can tell if they're close to me or not. Because if they were any person close to me or on the staff or whatever, they wouldn't call me Bernard. You know, immediately I know they don't know me. But when somebody calls me Bernard, then I take note, because that's the name that Mother Andy Johnson gave me. Amen. What's in a name? A name is very specific. God specifically spoke to me and said, make ambassador.
Conference recording started.
And God specifically told me to make ambassadors. He said he was making them through me. It is not a man appointment, it is a God appointment. God said he was doing it. He uses people, so he's using me to bring this about. And you will see this before it's all over. God's going to have thousands of ambassadors all across the world. What kind of ambassadors are they? They're prayer ambassadors. And the enemy doesn't want it in the first place. Let me give you an example. God knows he ordained this line. Anybody who can't see that, you got cataracts on your eyes. We started with three people. And then we moved on and added others. And so I believe it was Lady Betty, Mother Johnson, and myself. And actually it was four. Actually Sister Gina. Amen. Master Elect Gina Hodges and the three of us. Amen. And so it was four altogether, I believe. Then we had later on others like Dr. Mary Lacey came aboard. And I had to look in the history. I'm not trying to give it this morning, but anybody who has any type of intellect, you ought to be able to see that if we move from three or four people and now we are being heard by 90 million plus people. And on the blog line, several people have tried to get on the blog line sometimes at night with the 90 million people on the blog. And the message comes back, this line is full. It's completely full. Anybody with any common sense could see that God is blessing. Amen. I don't know about you, but I told the Lord the other day, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. And God is doing it with you, and you can't even see it, some of you. Open your eyes. This is a new awakening. I know change is very, very difficult for some people to take, but God is bringing a change in the world. There's a new awakening, a new anointing going out everywhere. And much of it is coming from this prayer line right here. I don't say that arrogantly, but you got to be foolish not to see what God is doing. Open your eyes and see what God's doing. All right, let me bring a portion of this message today. Those who have something planned, plan another day because I need a little time here to try to bring this message here. You see the glory. See, that's most people. Most people on this prayer line who have been wonderfully blessed, there are many of them. You've been wonderfully blessed by the Lord. Amen. See, promotion comes not from the east or the west, but the promotion comes from the Lord. And you have God's favor all around you, many people. But people who look at you, they see God's good will for your life. They see you being elevated by God. And they see you receiving promotions and the approval of God on your life. And in a sense, all they see is the glory. Most people like that. They just see the glory. But they don't know your story. Yeah. You see, every person to whom God gives much, much is required. And there is a story, a testimony. Behind the glory, there's a testimony. No wonder people only see the glory. They don't look much further than the glory. They just want to see the glory. They don't want to know how you got there. And you see, that is the testimony of most people. And it's because most people just see the blessings that they never consider what you went through to get those blessings. Somebody said, favor ain't fair. That's not a wise person. I don't care who it is who said that. Tells me that he must not have been with God too much because you're in the carnality too much. Favor is fair. Who gives favor? Who gives favor? God gives favor. Favor comes from God. Don't tell me favor ain't fair because you're telling me that God ain't fair. Everything that God does is fair. He's the most fair God you ever want to encounter in your life. He reigns on the just who don't even deserve the favor, and as well as the unjust. Favor is fair. And God is the one who gives favor. And to say that is insulting to God. Because he's the one who's blessed you. Now, and the reason why people don't know that favor is fair, because they see the glory, but they don't know the story. They see what God has done for you, and they don't understand how you got there. They can see the results, but they never consider how you got those results. They experience that great anointing on your life, but they never realize the great price you had to pay to get that great anointing. In other words, they can see the glory, the blessings, the favor. They see that. But they don't know your story. They know the story. They knew the story. They wouldn't say favor ain't fair. What it took to get to the favor on your life? They don't know your testimony. That tells me. I want to talk about you see the glory, but you don't know my story. And the purpose is to get people to share more about the goodness of Jesus. Share that testimony. I've been telling my testimony for 40 years about how God touched me and healed me of my asthma. My mother knows it's true. Amen. So many others know it's true. He healed me of my asthma. Amen. Told me to blow for him. And everybody has a testimony. The devil wants this message here. Another purpose is defeat the devil from trying to get you to tell your testimony. Keep you from telling your testimony over and over and over. Listen, folks, every time I tell my testimony, people get anointed, get healed, get delivered. It might be one, might be two, but they get healed, they get delivered. The enemy doesn't want you to tell your testimony. They say, oh, they already heard it. Who you think said that to you? They already heard my story. Who you think said that to you? You think God said, don't tell them what I did for you because they already heard it. Who you think said that to you? There are only two voices that can speak to anybody, the voice of good and the voice of evil. You think that was the voice of good? Oh, they already heard your story. You done told it 15 times, 20 times. They done already heard it. You don't need to tell that no more. Who you think said that? You think God said, oh, they already heard your story. They done heard it 15, 20 times. You don't need to tell that story no more. God didn't say that. You got to learn to recognize the voice of the enemy. The enemy said that to you. Why did he say it? Because he doesn't want you to tell the anointed story that will get other people the faith that they need to believe God and to get other people healed. He don't want people healed. He don't want people delivered. He don't want people set free. That's why he does that. That's why he says that. Learn to recognize that voice of the enemy. Yeah, sometimes people have been through so much that their song is, I still have my joy. After all I've been through, I still have my joy. But they have a testimony. That's their story. The testimony is their story. Like the other day, Sister Kennedy, I believe, I'm trying to remember who brought her to the line. Some of y'all will remember. They brought this woman. They kept talking about this woman who had cancer all over her body. And who brought her to the line? Somebody tell me. Speak up if you remember who brought her to the line. Sister Kennedy of Canada. Can y'all hear me?
Good morning, Dr. Johnson, Ambassador Johnson. That was my mother, Mother Wilson, that brought her sister and my aunt to the line.
Yes, Mother Wilson. Amen. Something has happened tremendous, spectacular. And I won't share. Remember when Sister Gina began to praise God on the line, and then she asked me if I would give her permission to call Sister Kennedy, and I did. And we prayed for Sister Kennedy on the line, asked God to give her complete healing. I believe Sister Gina called her and prayed for her also. Sister Gina, are you there? I want you to take about 3 minutes or whatever and give the testimony. She didn't come on the line because she Sister Kennedy is the doctor has given her a lot of medicine, and she can't get up this time morning. Sister Gina, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Can you just basically, do you mind giving her testimony for her? Because I know that you know it. You called her, or she called you, one of them. Amen. Give it the testimony.
God bless you, and thank you, and good morning to everyone. I just want to report that when I talked to Mother Canada last week, she explained to me that she was scheduled to go to surgery on this past Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. They thought there was cancer, stage 1 cancer, on the left side of her chest and her breast, as you all remember. And she said that they were supposed to have been going in there to remove it. And I spoke with her. She called me yesterday after the prayer light. I spoke with her. She said that the surgery went well, that she was doing fine, said that they made 2 incisions instead of 1, because once they got in there, thank you, that there was no cancer. She said, she was praising God. She was thanking. She asked me to tell all of you on the line, thank you for your prayers. But they said no cancer. They could not find the cancer stains, even after they had done the biopsy. They're to scheduling her for this procedure. Once they got there, they tried 2 times to find it, and it was not there. And I began to praise the Lord and say, to God be the glory. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's it. Let's give God a praise. Amen. God, who did it?
Thank you.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh, God, we thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank you.
And you see, many people will look at her and see the glory. But they don't know her story. That's why I had Sister Gina's story this morning. And take a moment, Sister Gina, and tell your story about what God did for you.
Thank you, Lord.
God bless you, saints. On January 30th of 2012, I lost one of my best friends. I mean, we have grown up since the age of 6. We had grown up together. And I went over to the hospital. I saw her right before she passed. That night I went home, and I had a terrible migraine. I just couldn't shake that migraine. It was to the point where when I woke up the next day on the 31st, it was just pounding. I was on the prayer line. I asked for prayer on the prayer line on that day. But I left home and went to work, and I wasn't feeling any better. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Finally, about 8 o'clock Eastern time, one of the ladies at the front desk came back to my office and said, "You don't look well. Are you okay?" I said, "No, my head is hurting me very bad." So I asked another one of the managers if he would take me to the emergency room. When I got there, they did my vitals. They rushed me right back. The doctor came in and spoke with me and said, "We're going to give you something for that pain in your head," because I'm a migrainer. Sometimes when I get very bad, I do have to go to the hospital, but I know my warning signs. After they gave me the pain medicine, while he was examining me, I had a cough, a very bad cough. And he says, "Well, we want to do a chest x-ray." I don't like the sounds of that cough. So they did the chest x-ray. He came back in a few minutes later and said, "Well, we're going to have to admit you because you have pneumonia. And you're being here a couple of days. We're going to run an IV, some antibiotics, and then we'll let you go on home. You should be fine." I said, "Okay, thank you." He said, "How's the headache?" I said, "It seems to have gotten worse." He said, "Well, we're going to give you another dose of pain medicine." Praise the Lord. He gave me the pain medicine, and about maybe 5 or 10 minutes later, three doctors walked in my room. And I looked at their jackets, and they had surgeon, oncology, and pulmonary on the jackets. And I thought it was kind of strange that they were coming in there, but it really didn't dawn on me at that time. I thought it was related to the pneumonia. And one of the doctors said, "Ms. Hodges, I got some bad news and I got some good news." And he said, "The bad news is that you have lung cancer." And I immediately sat up and said, "The devil is a liar. What did you all give me?" I said, "Mister, I've never smoked." He said, "Well, we compared the chest x-ray that we took when you were here last month with the flu. And we compared it to the one we took today. There's a spot on your lung that has grown over a centimeter. It's in stage 1 cancer. If we go in there right now, we can get it out. We'll just take the upper third of your lung out. You should be in intensive care for one night, then we'll let you go home the next day. Because it's in such an early stage and we can catch it, you won't have to take the chemo or the radiation." I don't know. I just went numb. I don't remember too much after that, because for someone to just walk in here and tell me I have lung cancer. And he said, "You got the worst one out, the one that spreads the fastest when it comes to lung cancer, because it's from secondhand smoke." And that's why when I see people smoking around kids, it really bothers me, because their lungs are young. I stayed in the hospital 3 days for them. They did the biopsy and ran the IVs. I went to church that following week, and the pastor, "What about us?" I began to fight my way back. When I came to, the nurse was sitting in the room. She said, "Welcome back." I said, "What do you mean, welcome back?" She said, "Honey, you coded. You stopped breathing. It took us 15 minutes to start you breathing again." Mm-hmm. I made a decision right there that I was going to do what the Lord said to. God told me to come when he showed me that house. I came to Kansas that following year for the first fruit convention. And when I was standing in the doorway of Amazing Grace with Lady Betty, I happened to look up, and across the street was that white house that I saw in that vision. To the left of me was a hill up there on Quindaro. Cisna leads up a hill to Quindaro, which is a main street there in Kansas. I decided that I was going to make that move, but I told the Lord, "I'll do it next year." God told me, "I want you to do it now." That was in August. I still waited. I went to work one day in September, and they had gotten rid of my job. They said, we no longer need a manager in the sales department. They said, so we're getting rid of your job. The Lord told me again, I said, go now. On November the 8th, I moved just my clothes, and I moved here to Kansas, and the Lord has taken care of me. I spent 53 days in intensive care in the hospital because they told me that I had no immune system. My INR number was down to 1 point something, and a normal is 5. So anything I could catch. I went down to 85 pounds. I had laid in that hospital room so many days listening to the prayer line, and one day in particular, I was really sick because I developed blood clots in my lungs. Mother Johnson called me, and she said, honey, I called you because I just want to rebuke death. That 90-some-year-old woman began to pray for me and rebuke death. I was so sick until I couldn't even hold the phone. I couldn't eat. I was just laying on pillows. When she hung up the phone, Dr. Louise Lyas called me. And she said, I'm just calling to shut the back door. I thank God that I am alive today. I am cancer-free. They diagnosed me with lupus, but I've had no problems with the lupus. I'm still going through with that blood condition, leukopenia, but I know God is going to bring those numbers up. Every time I go, it's up a little bit higher. I believe in God for a 5, that my INR is going to go up into a 5. And I thank God every day for my life. I thank God that I'm alive, that he's using me. Y'all pray my strength in the Lord.
Bless you. That's their story. Some people have seen glory, but they never known her story. Amen. And I thank God allowed this to happen this morning that she could tell her story. Amen.
Yes,
let's give God some praise. We've heard two
answers.
God deserves some glory. Give him some praise right now.
Thank you, Lord. My. Oh, my. What a story. Look, friends, stay with us. We'll be right back right after the station identification. If you're cut off, just reconnect with us again. God bless.